Call to order the city council meeting of June 12th at 6:08 p.m. Call for a moment of silence, please. If we could stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
It's up here. Okay, well, next item is going to be rule call, please.
Charlie Hawkins.
Here.
Dennis Olison.
Here.
Bonnie Onion.
Here.
Harry Robinson.
Here.
Steve Lawrenson.
Here.
Mary Lou Stewart.
Here.
Paul Greeno.
Here.
Yep. Next item on our agenda is audience participation. And we have one gentleman, Sam Friedman. You've signed up to speak this evening. I would suggest that I think I know the topic that you wish to speak to, and that will come up at the public hearing. You may want to hold your comments until we get to that. Is there anyone else in the audience that has not signed up that would like to address the council this evening? Hearing none, I'll go to the next item on our agenda, which is written communications. Do we have any?
We received an email dated May 24th from Lisa Moeller regarding a press release for an illegal marijuana grow operation within city limits. An email dated May 24th from Suzanne Kite regarding signage for the pavilion. A letter dated May 30th from Joel Douglas regarding entry signs on Peace Portal. An email dated June 1st from Michael Jones regarding top 10 waterfront towns. And an email dated June 2nd from Brian Bott regarding the Paris Climate Agreement.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is the Fire Chief's Report. Chief Hollander, please.
Evening, Council. I'm still struggling with this so early on the agenda. So briefly tonight, I'm sharing with you our newsletter. And on the second page, you'll notice that Leslie Smith, we all know Leslie Smith, received a recognition from the Blaine School District for all the work she did there. And then the crews at the Odell Station on the next page, there's a little article about some work they did with an adult with autism, helping him work on the weekends and through the fire station. So there was a nice little award for that. On the back page is the Safe Kids Fair, which we helped on June the 3rd, and then last weekend was Hands Across the Border. I understand that was a successful event. And then the last thing, I'm sure you saw it in the paper, we had a pretty serious crash with three semi-trucks Saturday. I was out of town this weekend on the truck route and just a little bit past 8th Street.
Friday afternoon?
Yeah, sorry, I was out of town. And it took over an hour to extricate that driver out of that truck. And interestingly enough, we practice all the time cutting people out of bent cars. We never practice cutting people out of trucks that are this high off the ground. So, yeah, we had to call in quite a few extra crews, but it was successful and we were able to get him out. And I can't tell you his condition because I don't know. So,
questions for the chief?
No? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, chief. Next item on our agenda is the consent agenda. We have approval of bills in the amount of $358,780.03. Approval of payroll in the amount of $548,964.39. And approval of council minutes for May the 22nd, 2017. I would be willing to entertain a motion.
So moved.
Motion has been made and seconded. Are there any questions or comment regarding the consent agenda? Hearing none, I will call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. The motion is carried 7-0. Next item on our agenda is a public hearing. And please note, person speaking on any issue will be allowed 5 minutes. Additional non-repetitive testimony will be allowed after all testimonies have been heard. as this is a public hearing, I'll read the following. At this time, we are going to conduct a public hearing in the matter of a petition to vacate, and it's SALLLC. The concern is that the hearing be fair in substance and procedure, and to meet that fairness requirement, I need to ask if any council member has any interest in the property or subject matter of the hearing tonight. If no, the mayor will say hearing none. If yes, the mayor, as the council member state, is her concern. I'll ask the question. Does any of the council members have an interest in the property subject matter of the hearing tonight?
No.
Okay.
Hearing none. Does the council member have direct or indirect financial benefit in the outcome of the hearing?
No.
Hearing none. Has any council member engaged in communication outside of the hearing with proponents or opponents on the issues to be heard?
No.
Hearing none. Can't each of you be fair and impartial in hearing the testimony tonight and rendering a decision?
Yes.
Okay. I now declare the public hearing open. I will ask the city clerk to read into the record a list of written communications which have been received on this subject.
I have not received any written.
There is no written communication. Okay. Raven, you are going to lead us in the public hearing.
Yes, sir. I will lead you through the public hearing. I will say that we did get one phone call, and it was from a neighbor across the street, and she was invited this evening, and she was also told she needed to make a written record if she wanted to testify, unless she wanted to. All right, so I'm just going to go a little bit through here and give you an idea about the street vacation process. It's complex and it's just worth a quick review. I will go through a timeline on this specific street vacation. I'll remind you of what the hearing criteria are, and I'll lead you through each one of the criteria step by step. And I will make a recommendation. And because this is separate from the land use, there was a request, however, to learn more about the land use. Mr. Jones will be coming up and actually adding a little bit of information before we go over to public testimony. Any questions on the process? Okay. So, as you know, there are many steps to street vacation. We have been here, we've done the petition, we've done our preliminary findings, so we did step one and two. And then you folks did step three, and that was last month, and that was to schedule this hearing. And since that time, we have done the public notice steps that are resulting in where we are today. So the public hearing tonight, we have no written objections, so the 50% or more doesn't happen. We're going to then just go through the confirmation of ownership, evaluation of public harm and benefit, the effect on the property served, relationship of the right-of-way to the planned streets, and the nature of existing utilities. And after such time as the public testimony should occur, I will reiterate to you what the criteria are for your decision.
Thank you.
So, moving along the line of where we are in the timeline here, we did have an original petition in November based on the information we had before us at the time, which was very, very little. We recommended denial. The applicant came forward and provided some additional information, at which time council asked us to please go back and work with the applicant. That we did. We then scheduled this public hearing on the 23rd of May, and here we are today on the 12th of June. So, again, I've already stepped through what these hearing criteria are, so I won't read this slide again, but I am going to take you step by step. So first, confirmation of ownership. This particular property is bounded by Madison, Clyde, Kingsley, Mary, and Peace Portal, and it is all a Block 9 in Kingsley's second edition, and it has been confirmed that the ownership has been confirmed. I want to talk a little bit about evaluation of public harm and benefit. So clearly the benefit to the public here would be realized by the completion of the project. The difficulty here is that we're not reviewing the project today. We are strictly looking at the street vacation. And when we came to you back last year, before we had the project in front of us, we communicated the offset of the right-of-way and some of our concerns about utilities. So we're going to address those tonight. But there would be a benefit realized by the completion of this project. Whether the right-of-way is considered for future use, the answer is yes. While there is sufficient use, or the applicant has demonstrated there is sufficient right-of-way for pedestrian facilities on the opposite side, as would be required, there is an alignment issue with the existing center line of the street being located dramatically to the south, and also that the right-of-way has an undersized water main, a dead-end water main, and overhead electrical facilities. There's also, coincidentally, a small easement that will need to be extinguished where there's the old electric system is still located through the property. Whether the right-of-way is in conflict with the general purpose and objective of the city's comp plan for land use, transportation, utilities, etc., the remaining portion of the right-of-way would be 60 feet. It is a little bit different in that 40 feet would be on the opposite side of the street, and this would only leave a 20-foot right-of-way on the south side. The residential standard calling for a sidewalk on the north side and the applicant demonstrating that that can fit there assures that this vacation would not hinder those future improvements. And, however, with the vacation and right-of-way, water and power impacts would need to be mitigated. Whether the substitution of an alternative way could be more useful to the public, really the only substitution would be to reduce the area requested and subsequently reduce the number of units that could be developed by this parcel. Whether future changes in conditions may increase public use or need, currently the 60-foot right-of-way is considered sufficient for a residential street. So we've kind of talked about that. I'm going to zoom in here. Clyde Street right now is on the top of the screen, is simply a minimum standard street, barely 18 foot wide at that. And as shown here, you could see that the shift is dramatically to the south, which is on the right side of this drawing. The applicant proposes to shift the alignment about 9 feet to the north, creating enough room for a full three-quarter street section with the 10-foot lane on the north side and the 14-foot lane and curb and gutter on the south side. The sidewalk improvement would be completed when and if a developer comes through on the north side of the street or when the city ever wants to do that on Clyde Street. Let's see here, and then whether or not public benefit of the area's use is insufficient to justify the cost of maintenance. The public benefit of accommodating a multifamily with associated public improvements seems to justify the cost of these added maintenance. If the city wishes to place any underground utilities in the resulting easement that we're recommending that you retain, however, we would need to repair Mr. Saul's parking area or landscaping if that were to occur. So in terms of effect on property served, the first question is how property or properties may be directly benefited or adversely affected. And really the property owned by Saul LLC would be the primary property to directly benefit from the proposed street vacation. However, adjacent residents might see benefit from increased water pressure by the looping of the water main and more reliable power service by putting the power line underground, and of course, a safer street from which to traverse. Whether there's at least one alternative mode of ingress and egress meeting the standards for emergency services, this would widen the existing street and would not affect emergency services in any way. So the relationship of right-of-way to existing and planned streets and highways, this one was very interesting. Mr. Olson actually brought up, aren't there other vacations in the area? And as you could see from all the circles on this map, there are many vacations in the area. There's small street vacation on either side of Madison. There is a street vacation for 40 feet of Kingsley. There are some associated street vacations on Mary Avenue that were too complex for me to figure out in time for this presentation. And then the alleys in the middle of the subject property, which is outlined in yellow, and also the little east side of Kingsley. Now, the alley that's indicated in the middle of this property in yellow, that is the easement that was retained out of that, is what we will need to extinguish upon completion of this street vacation. That would probably be more associated with the development, however, because it's on the property, but we'll work out those specific details. But there currently is a power line easement and a segment of a power line that runs up the property there. In terms of modifying traffic circulation, there's no issues there. Whether or not the right-of-way has been opened and constructed and to what standard, we've already indicated that Clyde is currently to a minimum standard and the applicant would be required to complete it to a three-quarter standard. Whether or not the vacation will create or maintain a straight and continuous right-of-way is satisfied by the realignment of Clyde Street to the north and the subsequent taper back towards Bayview and where the existing alignment is. So that kind of talks about all of those criteria. The next one is relating to utilities. I think the TV screen is actually a little easier to see, believe it or not, than the one in the back. But it talks about whether or not there's any existing utilities in the right-of-way. And so you can see the green lines on this drawing are all sewer. The blue lines are all water systems. The red line is power. So there's quite a bit of utilities in the area. Peace Portal has the water main, the sewers on the opposite side of the street, so there's not a lot of issues with the relocation or replacement of the existing water main, which right now dead ends. And the power system, like I said, would be required to be placed underground as a part of the project. The necessity and desirability of the city retaining easement, so as I indicated, we would request that a easement be retained. So our recommendation is multifold. First, we feel that the street vacation in and of itself would require some public improvements. Reasons already stated, the water lines on the south side of the road, they want to vacate 20 feet of that right of way. The power lines there, the street is offset. There's lots of issues with that were the reason why we originally recommended denial to you. Our feeling is that these public improvements would mitigate those concerns. That would be the replacement of the water line to create a loop in the system. It would actually extend east of the property to the end of the existing water main, moving the overhead power underground, and reconstructing Clyde Street to the north with some appropriate taper that brings it back to its current alignment. This is difficult because it's the chicken or the egg. The street vacation needs to happen in order for them to file for their land use application with the number of units that they're requesting. So that's a little bit out of sequence. Normally, we would do public improvements as a part of the land use process, not necessarily part of the street vacation process. So our thoughts on this were some kind of bonding or other guarantee acceptable to the city attorney that the improvements would be made in a five-year period would be a reasonable condition to place on this. We'd also recommend a reservation of the easement for the public utilities. Of course, not placing any permanent structures, so we'd want to put that on the plans. And then the petitioner needing to pay all the recording and drawing fees and so forth as a course for the property. So that is what my recommendation is. I'm going to turn the microphone over to Mr. Jones unless you have any specific questions for me.
Just on the bonding, what's the basis for figuring 150% of what? What's the number?
The reason why we go with 150%, and we actually require this for all public projects where we bond for improvements, and we do this typically through a public facilities process, is because there's so little information right now, although there might be a little bit more information than what I have, because I know the applicant's been working on this between the last time we met with them, but there's a little bit of that there's some unknowns that you need some contingency for. You also don't know what kind of cleanup might be required if they start improvements and don't finish them. And then lastly, just the escalating project costs over time. If this happens today, their cost estimate today is not going to be enough to build it next year.
Well, so, that's my concern, is that there really isn't a number that you're taking 150% of.
We will get a cost estimate for the improvements that we will review and validate, and we will use that number. And if we, for any reason, disagree with that number, we would work with the engineer until we come up with a number that we're happy with.
Is that after the fact?
Well, it really depends on how you word your recommendation, but no, my recommendation would be that all of that in red on your that's up there is worked out before we do any ordinance. So today you're making a decision whether or not this meets the criteria. Once, if in fact the council makes that recommendation that it meets the criteria and we should move forward, then is the opportunity for the applicant to either complete the improvements or bond for them or come up with some other guarantee acceptable to the city attorney. And it wouldn't be until then that we would bring you back an ordinance. They would also have to pay for the land costs and recording fees and all of the exhibits and so forth. So, no, we are recommending it happen ahead of, but because we understand the nature of land development, they're not going to want to move that water line and shift the road and then come back and do more public improvements as a part of the bigger project. They're going to want to do that all with the project.
So, Raven, if I understand you correctly, you are now recommending the vacation subject to these factors?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Bonnie.
So the recommendation is that they can build their project and they have 5 years to do the utilities, change the utilities and put the widened road, finished road in and sidewalk and all that? They have up to 5 years to do that?
Well, the improvements will be built with the project. There'll be a requirement of the project.
Oh, that's not.
But what we're saying is that we're essentially, in approving this condition, we are saying that they have 5 years to complete their project.
Oh, to complete the total project.
Right. Because But the
improvements have to be made along with the project before they get occupancy. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, I misunderstood that.
Other questions? Okay.
All right.
Michael, did you want to address this as well? Or? Okay.
Back when this went through the process originally, Council, you had asked that you basically instructed the applicant to go through a pre-application meeting so that there was more information developed. So I just wanted to speak to that a little bit. And the reason this comes after Raven's recommendation is because it's not really a part of the recommendation, because the land use is a separate activity, subject to completely separate rules and a permit process. But I did want to clarify just a little bit before I got started the question that Councilwoman Onion mentioned. Basically what Raven was saying there was that it would have those three things above the red letters would happen at the end of 5 years, even if they don't build the project. It would be as a result of the property being vacated. But then also, as Raven had clarified, that they would all be conditions of the project anyway. So if the project gets built in a year, they would happen obviously much sooner than that. So they're tied to the project, but in order to recommend approval, those things would need to be done in any case, even without the project, if I understand correctly. So that's why the bonding is there.
And this goes with no matter what ownership is involved.
It would run with
the
land.
If it would change hands, it would run with the land.
Yes. So related to the project, I wanted to mention that it did go through a pre-application review, as you requested. That was held on February 9th of this year. And the technical review committee went through a variety of different things. I won't get into all of those details, but some things for you to know are that the required permits for this are a conditional use permit, because single-family homes and offices are permitted by right in that zone. Multifamily uses are a conditional use, so it would need to go through a conditional use permit process. And then it would go through a site plan review, which lays out all the physical infrastructure, the kind of on-the-ground things. Where's the parking? Where's the landscaping? Where do the buildings sit? All of that would be reviewed at the same time. That triggers a series of other permits, then the land disturbance permit to do the work, the right-of-way permits, public facilities construction agreement to work on public infrastructure, and then also building permits. So there's a series of different things that get them to actually going vertical and building in the ground infrastructure. But some of the things that you may also want to understand or to know about the project are that this zone is density-based. So with a conditional use permit, the number of units a person can build are based on the square footage that they have, the amount of acreage that they have. So by doing, by vacating land and the property getting larger, that would allow three additional units. So instead of 54, 57 could be built. The applicants told us they will generally all be two and three bedroom units, mostly two bedroom. And the other thing that they've noted is that the storage building that they're proposing there, which would be for tenant storage, not a commercial storage, but a place for tenants to store things like bicycles and sporting equipment and that sort of thing. They don't think that they can fit that on the project without the vacation, so that's one of the other reasons that they see it as an important aspect of the project. Personally, but also community development, we support the idea of having these storage units because they prevent people from, or will help to reduce people from storing things on their balconies, which tends to become the overflow spot, and that means we all get to look at it. So it's not what we want to have for a large project like this. A couple of other things for you to know, and again, these are not related to whether you vacate or don't vacate, but a project in this zone would be required to have 30% open area, which means undeveloped space, so like landscape area. It could be lawn, could be trees and shrubs, but open area is a requirement, 30% of the site. You can see some of that is right in the middle of the project. They have a big lawn area that might become, might have some recreational amenities in it or something like that, but basically it's available open space. The height limit is 35 feet. Doesn't matter if it's a single family building or an office building or multifamily, 35 feet is the height limit. As I mentioned, there's the number of units is a density calculation, and the maximum density is 24 units per acre, and that's how they go from 54 to 57 with the additional space. And then, of course, there are some setbacks, and setbacks are pretty typical for this kind of zone, 20 feet in the front, 20 feet in the rear. And actually here, because it's a very large property, we have an unusual setback for side yards. It gets the larger the parcel, the larger the side yard setback, which is 15 feet in this zone, which is intended to create some kind of view corridors through the site along Peace Portal Drive. That applies kind of all up and down Peace Portal Drive. So that's essentially the project, and of course there's lots of other regulations related to parking and stormwater and all of those sorts of things that would be built into it, but I think those are some of the key items that tell you about the project. But again, the project is not really what's on the table today. I'm just reporting that because you did want to get some information to inform your decision. Any questions on that?
Questions for Michael? They're going to want to build 57 units. How does that compare to the apartments we've had built in Boeing?
Sorry?
How does that compare to the largest apartments, numbers we've had in Boeing?
Bill complained. It just seemed to me that's a whole bunch of...
That's similar in scale to Marin, if I remember correctly. Marin is 56 units with the third building that hasn't been built yet. It is, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but I think it makes it about twice the size of Seascape, close to twice the size. It might be not quite twice the size. So it's, you know, it's pretty large in comparison to some other projects that we have had. I'm trying to think if there are some others that are in that scale. Those are the two that come to mind.
Another question, Bonnie.
As community development director, you're probably aware of the extent of the need for housing in Blaine, both for apartments and condos and really all kinds of residential housing. So in your estimation, is this project something that Blaine needs?
I think Mr. Freeman will actually probably speak to some of the numbers related to occupancy rates and that sort of thing. But from what I hear of people paying for rent and from what we hear of people seeking housing, yeah, there is a demand for these units. Mm-hmm. Whether it's 54 or 57, there is a demand for the units.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Any questions? Okay, Michael,
thank you.
Okay, now we're at the point where anyone wishing to speak to the issue is welcome to come forward. As we've indicated previously, you'll be allowed 5 minutes. Additional non-repetitive testimony will be allowed after all testimonies have been heard. Mr. Freeman, this may be your opportunity now to speak to this issue.
Thank you, and I'd like to thank you, too. I am encouraged that the vacation is something that you would consider on this particular property. I know getting people together in a project like this is quite large, and everything works on numbers. The larger the numbers, the better it's going to be for these particular investors. My father started selling real estate back in the early 60s. He actually bought the property from a guy named Ben Gaskell. Maybe some of you guys remember old Benny. My brother started selling real estate back in the early 80s, and I started in the 90s. And I've seen builders come and go in the city. I've seen people that tried to work with the city. I've seen the product that they make. And I can say that as far as Mr. Saul and the properties that I've been associated with him, he is a very quality builder. He's a man of his word. As far as the numbers relating to the need for something like this, at Freeman Real Estate, we typically do buy, we list and sell. If someone wants to use us as a property manager through that process, we do so. Otherwise, we say, no, go and talk to Monty. I'm sitting back there. I can honestly say over the last year, there isn't a day that goes by that we don't get two or three applicants that come into our office looking for a place to live. Whether they're working in Bellingham or Linden or wherever, there's just not a lot of places to go. When you put a for rent sign up in Blaine, you're inundated with dozens of applications. Not all of them are good, but you get them. So there is a tremendous need for something like this. I know when I was a kid, I used to ride my bike down to Chuck's Drive-In. Used to be able to get an ice cream cone there for a nickel. Used to get a hamburger there for 35 cents. I would have loved to have a burger joint there too, but I know that's not in the cards. What it is now is just a vacant lot and a decrepit old building. And it's kind of a shame because that's in one of the most beautiful places in Blaine, overlooking Drayton Harbor. So we've got an abandoned building, a fence, an old house that looks like it should be torn down as well. And what we also have is the willingness of this particular applicant to go and spend millions of dollars to build what we know we need right now. I mean, who knows how much more we're going to need in the future, but we know right now there is a tremendous need for this. So, like, once again, I'm encouraged that it's looked favorably upon you guys, and I would just ask the council to vote yes on this, because we have a lot of families coming into the city. I'd like to maintain them here for the tax base, I mean, I could go over relative to, you know, the fees. You guys know more about the fees than I do, what this project would bring to the city of Blaine. You know more than I do what the monthly sewer and water fees would be. I understand that the sewage plant needs an influx of monies, and maybe this is just what the doctor ordered. So thank you very much for your time, and I encourage you to vote yes.
Thank you, Mr. Freeman. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to this issue? Okay, hearing none, I will then bring the public hearing to a close.
This is your opportunity for discussion, and we'll actually we have an action item for this, so I don't know that we need to vote right now, but if you have questions, now would be a good time. Or if you think of other questions, what I could do is leave this slide up for when the action item comes up later.
Okay.
So, Charlie? I have a question. We talked a little bit about vacations. If we give up vacations and then are not used, about how do we have them revert back to the city? We give permission to somebody to give up our city right-of-ways, but if they don't use that right-of-way for the project, they just turn around and use it to resell it or something like that. I mean, I think that we should kind of protect ourselves from that kind of use. And I don't know how anybody else feels like about the council, but I think after what happened in the last one, I think we should consider doing something like that.
Well, the city attorney can sure speak to revert our thought of the bonding or other assurance on the public improvement side was that it would be the simplest way to ensure at least the public improvements are built, or if they're not and the project's not built, like Mr. Jones said, the public improvements would still be required to be built, or the bond would pay for us to do those improvements. But really, because they're separate actions, it's very hard to revert back once you have vacated a piece of property.
All right, thank you.
Greg, on the Georgia Street vacation, which Charlie's talking about, was there any...
Microphone, sir.
On the Georgia Street vacation that Charlie's talking about, was there any stipulations put on that as far as any improvements that they have to do even if the project isn't being done?
No.
No.
The difference is, and I described this when we came to our very first session on this, is that this project or this street, the portion that they're vacating, has those utilities, has the street located to the south. On Georgia, it was the exact opposite. There were no utilities anywhere, and the street itself was built to the north. And so it just fit a lot better, and as a result, yes, we do have required public improvements that will be required from whoever develops that piece of property, but there's now the right way to do that.
Okay. So what you're saying then is that presently now there is no project going to happen at this point unless the property sells. So if the project was going to be built, were they going to put a curb on the south side of Georgia? Would that have been one of the requirements?
Correct. Both a curb and a parking lane.
Okay. So if it just sits there for 5 or 10 years now, there will not be a curb on that because we didn't put anything in there. That's correct.
Yeah, it wasn't mitigating the street vacation. It was mitigating the project.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis? Raven, what information and what basis was for traffic flow? My concern is you put in 57 units. In those units, there's going to be a bunch of kids. And the access to the school, they have to walk. And I guess my concern is, where do they walk? What's the pattern that you would see for them?
If I can only answer that question with my crystal ball, the Clyde Street vacation is all we're really here to talk about today, and from review of
no,
the record.
I understood that it also talked about the streets.
Well, we only talked about Clyde, right?
No,
we're not talking about the other streets yet because we're not reviewing a development proposal, but the full development proposal will require sidewalk on Madison, as well as more permanent improvements along Peace Portal. So you asked what direction a child might walk. Again, you know, kids walk wherever they want, but there would be sidewalk or pedestrian facilities on Peace Portal to Mitchell. There would be a sidewalk on Madison, but no, there would not be sidewalk on Clyde because our residential street standard calls for sidewalk on the north side, not on the south.
That really doesn't answer the question of where those kids will walk.
And again, I can tell you where there's pedestrian facilities, but I can't guarantee that any child is going to use those. They're going to walk where they want to. So again, this is not, we're not discussing walking patterns. We're talking about the street vacation criteria in front of you, which does talk about traffic circulation, and it talks about emergency services, but it doesn't specifically ask me where children are going to walk. No predictions?
Pedestrians.
Again.
That is not included in the discussion at all. Is it?
Michael, will this not be brought up when the project has come forward? I mean, aren't we talking about traffic patterns at a later date?
The traffic patterns and pedestrian facilities will be brought up. And for the most part, I think actually Raven covered it pretty well. There's a multimodal pedestrian trail right on the front of this property on Peace Portal Drive that connects to Madison, which is direct route to school. There are sidewalks on Bayview, just about a half a block away, that connect up to Adelia, where there are sidewalks that connect on Adelia to Madison, which is another route to school. I think what, Mr. Olson, you might be considering is the idea that the kids may walk up Madison and then across, can't think of the name of the street.
Georgia.
Thank you. Where there are no sidewalks yet. And I think Raven is really fair to say, we can't predict where kids are going to walk. And kids are going to walk where it's shortest. And it means across people's lawns. That means cutting through empty lots. That's what kids do. But we have pedestrian facilities right in front of this that connect directly to the school from two different directions, but not on the third direction that you're considering, that section on Georgia and Madison.
Current land use requirements for a residential street are to do a three-quarter street improvement depending on the side that the applicant is on. And in both of these cases, Georgia and Clyde, the applicant is on the south side. So we can't require the improvements on the north side. We'd love to. But again, we're not talking about land use tonight. We're talking about a street vacation.
Yeah. Are there any further questions or discussion regarding the vacation? Okay, hearing none. We'll really close the public hearing this time. Okay, next item on the agenda is council action items. We are going to bring the jail facility use agreement to number one. And Mr. City Manager, would you like to address that issue?
Certainly. Thank you, council, for adjusting your schedule. John Sitkin is here tonight to speak to this relative to the contract. Jeff has information financially if you would like to have more about that relative to our costs. We also have a police chief who understands the demand for it relative to his work. Simply, the county has been working on replacing the jail for quite a long time. You recall back in 2015, the jail did not pass. That was proposed at that time. They've gone back to the table, both the county and the city of Bellingham primarily, but there were lots of other interest groups at the table as well, representing all different types of interests, and that resulted in a new agreement and a new jail configuration that includes a lot of the things that were missing in the first one, particularly those services that had to do with rehabilitation and kind of pre-jail resources. So just as a kind of a high-level overview, the new jail is expected to cost to be built at $110,100,000. With interest, it's well over $202 million. It's a big project. It's going to be paid over a 30-year term, starting from January 1st, 2019, ending in December 31st in 2048. Long time out there. The revenue would come from 0.2% sales tax that would be approved by voters. There's a split in the terms of the property tax or the sales tax. 60% of it would come from the county, about 40 cents comes from cities. And then within this 40%, small cities are going to be paying about 22%, and the remainder of that is paid for the city of Bellingham. The city of Blaine then picks up about 3.6% of the cost, which is reflective of our use of the jail, which is relatively small compared to the other users. The jail will have about 440 beds. It has the capacity where it's being placed in LeBounty Road to be increased in size if necessary. The property is large enough to accommodate additional facilities, and the design is based upon the ability to do that, so they can build them in modules, and the modules can change depending upon what the demand is. There will be a board established. Volunteers from communities like Blaine could serve on that board that will oversee the jail operations, which includes a year-end true-up. So every year there will be charges and expenses, and cities will be charged as well as the county, and they'll reconcile all of that at the end of the year to true up the expenses after the final year reconciliation has been completed. All cities in Whatcom County at this point appear to be part of the jail use agreement. We're recommending that the City Council approve this jail use agreement. The downside, if you don't do that, is that you don't have a place at the table. Once the decisions are made and the vote is cast, if the jail is approved by the voters, there's no second bite at the apple. All the calculations are done based upon today's information. So since our use is so small, our voice is not particularly loud. And so a lot of this work was done between the city of Bellingham and the county, of course. It's important to note that, and there's a lot of information in the packet, as you've seen. I'm trying to find the right page of what to show you here. There's a spreadsheet that's attached that talks to, it's the very last page, I believe, online. So this spreadsheet shows what the payments for each city and the county are going to be through the term of the agreement. So the city of Blaine, starting in 2019, would receive, as part of the sales tax reimbursement, $34,266. At the end of the term, that number is $210,852. So that will escalate as the proceeds of the tax goes forward, anticipating the revenue growth based upon projection. So I guess the bottom line is everyone hopes enough taxes come in to make the payment of a little over $500,000 a month for the next 30 years. I'm going to ask Jeff to speak just briefly to the cost of jail. So I think you need to get a sense of the magnitude. The chief can talk about prisoners if he'd like to do that, and then we'll have John finish up with any contract questions and answers you may need. Or anything from either you'd like to ask? Yes, ma'am.
How does this new proposal for the jail differ from the one that Bellingham didn't vote for originally?
I think primarily two areas. One is a smaller footprint, smaller jail. The other one had well over 500 beds. This has 440. But probably the other big part of it is that Bellingham had a really strong sense of rehabilitation, pre-jail activity, drug treatment, counseling. You heard domestic violence kinds of things earlier tonight, dealing with those kinds of matters. So trying to do prevention in a big way. So the facility itself, unlike the previous one, it has on-site resources for those kinds of activities. So that's probably the biggest difference. And Bellingham is insistent on that criteria. 36 behavioral health beds. Guess the audience didn't hear that. Thanks, John. Okay. Jeff, you want to talk just a bit about finances?
Dennis had a question.
Oh, sorry. Get started.
David, am I reading this right? If one of the cities approves it, it goes on the ballot?
If one of the city approves it, it goes on the ballot?
That's what it says.
Well, so the interesting thing about this, it doesn't need the city of Blaine. The voters in this county are going to vote for it, including Blaine voters. So it doesn't need to have any cities on it, right? When you think about that, But in terms of the agreement for financing and for operating the jail, they want partners at the table. So I think that's probably correct. With the city of Bellingham and the Whatcom County are the two big users and drivers of jail services. So you need to have those parties.
Do you have any idea of if and when Bellingham is going to approve it?
Well, I think they've already been in the process of tentatively approving it. They were at the table negotiating. I don't have a calendar of what their council meetings are, but I'd be very, very surprised if Bellingham did not approve this. I mean, that would be just completely out of character of what's been happening relative to the negotiations. It's like if they're getting married, they've been engaged for a while, and now they're at the altar. It'd be really difficult to turn away.
So just for cost purposes, what I did is calculated what the average cost over the last 3 years has been for jail, and it's been $68,659. Of course, that varies from year to year depending on how many inmates are housed in the jail. And this year, 2017, the per diem costs went up to $108 per diem, and then there's a $100 booking fee. And then we also pay really medical services that are provided to inmates, and that averages about $3,000 to $4,000 a year. $3,000 to $4,000 a year.
Questions for Jackie?
And just a couple of figures in terms of our use of the jail. And we're 163 days into 2017, and so far this year, we've processed 72 people into the Whatcom County Jail on 86 different charges and offenses. Now, last year, the same time, we had 76 people and 93 charges. And those are just adults for misdemeanor and gross misdemeanor crimes. That doesn't count felony bookings, and it doesn't count juveniles. Although we're one of the lower users in the county, we depend on that facility, and it's the only facility that we have access to for immediate booking ability. We've talked before about the benefits and the growing drastic need for a replacement of the existing facility. There are cost savings to the city in terms of time and efficiency. Right now, if an officer takes someone to jail, they're out of town. They may be out of town, best conditions, hour and a half. Quite often, you'll get to the sally port at the jail, and there are four or five people still being booked in ahead of you. You can only process one at a time. And you'll have an officer gone for 3 or 4 hours, sometimes even longer, if that person being processed needs to go from the jail, primary booking, up to St. Joe's Hospital for an evaluation, and back to the jail. You can lose half of a shift, and with our current staffing levels at time, that may be the only officer who's on duty. The other anticipated efficiencies and effectiveness will be in terms of having the ability for psych and medical jail evaluations there at the facility will hopefully help reduce the amount of recidivism that we have. If they can identify mental health problems at booking input, for instance, and initial triage, and help steer that person out of the criminal incarceration environment into more of a medical or mental health environment, that's a significant percentage of the folks that we deal with, especially being on the border, on I-5, up against a wall that people sort of run into. All of those would be benefits to us from proceeding forward with this project.
Questions for the chief? I have a question.
On the 0.2%, that's what the sales tax they're looking to pass, is that correct? And at the end of, what is it, 2048, That doesn't go away completely, does it?
As I understand that, it's planned to drop down to 0.1%. But so there will be ongoing revenue from that. Because the debt will be paid off, that 0.1% will be split amongst the cities based upon the ratios that are being developed now. You got to remember that there are going to be ongoing costs to operate the jail, which I think they're trying to retain some of that 0.1% for that. And then there's going to be costs associated with public safety. The 0.2% is a public safety vote. It can only be used for this type of purpose. So I think the idea in negotiations was that they didn't want to lock in future decisions from voters about how to use that remainder or 0.1% of the two. Because there was a lot of discussion about this terminating and sunsetting after 30 years, and I think it came back in that it was a reasonable response to return 0.1%, but there's still a need to maintain the jail into the future. Because that kind of structure will be there for, you know, 50, 75, 100 years.
Didn't they at one time have a 1% that was voted in, or a 0.1% that was voted in specifically for jails?
Yeah, I don't remember what year it was, but it was in the 2000s. I want to say 6 or something. I wasn't here at the time, but in fact, there was a big initiative to replace the jail, and they did some work. I think they built some facilities in Iron Gate and did a couple of other projects for mental health, but a jail facility wasn't built. And I can't give you the details. My sense from in the meetings I've attended is the magnitude of the jail was underestimated at the time. So when they finally get down to the building of it, there wasn't funds available to do it. So then the money was dispersed, I'm assuming, in other public safety functions within the sheriff's office, including trying to do things to the current jail to keep it from...
You don't know whether that's still in effect?
I believe it is in effect. John, you want to talk about the contract?
Sure. It's a wholly new contract. I'm not going to review the whole thing. So I think the key highlights I would bring to your attention is that if the sales tax, the county will place the measure on the sales tax for 2017, likely the fall. If it fails, the agreement's null and void. If it passes, all the cities that have signed on to it are bound. If the city doesn't approve this agreement, if one city does not, the percentages will be recalculated. I think David hit on the key differences that I was going to point out on a substantive basis of the prior proposal and this proposal, that being the jail significantly smaller and addressing really what was the core of the city of Bellingham's issues was the demand for behavioral health facility beds within the jail facility. There is the new cost methodology. It's at 3.6%, as David mentioned. You know, it's a long agreement. I would tell you, I think the city's adequately protected in the agreement. Should you pass this, if you don't pass it, we'll have to revisit how Mike's going to take care of folks at the chief arrest. So, but I would recommend passage.
Questions for Mr. Sitkin?
I would add one thing. There may be some time and cost for the police department. In my reading of this, I think there will be some new operational training that will be necessary once the jail is up and running, and a new relationship of how inmates are brought into custody through the Sally Court and how they're processed, if you will, and then released or not back to the city or elsewhere. So there will be some new training that occurs in time.
John, once this is approved, when do they expect to have the new jail up and running?
I do not know. I can just, Dave may know, 4 years. Yeah, and that's probably a good guess. You know, you're going to, once you have the funding mechanism, then you can go out and do your design. Yep. And then you're going to do some bonding based for financing based upon the tax revenue stream. You're going to get the bonds placed. I don't know how exactly the county's going to plan on working all the financial structure component of this. But once you get your design, which is probably 6 months to a year to get the design signed off, get to bid and get to construction. If you don't have any issues, 4 years is reasonable.
Hey, Dennis?
I guess this would be for Jeff. If they don't collect enough sales tax, and we get a certain amount that we, as a city, have to pay, that's our problem.
Say that again.
If
our
the
payment isn't enough,
if our payment is not enough, that, then it would come out of city funds.
Okay.
Okay, any further questions or comments? Okay, the city, the recommendation is that we approve resolution 1711-17, approving the jail facility use interlocal agreement between Whatcom County and the cities of Blaine, Everson, Ferndale, Linden, Nooksack, and Sumas, and include a commitment to enhance mental health and substance addiction programs to reduce jail population and recidivism. Probably didn't pronounce that correctly. Recidivism. And two, to authorize the city manager to sign the county jail interlocal agreement.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, the motion has been made and second. Are there any further questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Motion is carried 7-0. Okay, next item on our agenda is going to be to consider approval of the Snell LLC right-of-way vacation.
Well, we're back again. You had an opportunity to hear kind of a detailed analysis within our about our staff report, but I've also included the staff report in your packet. Public Works hopefully has answered all your questions, as does Mr. Jones, in relationship to the land use. We are therefore recommending that the City Council declare this vacation does satisfy the BMC requirements and move the Council intend to vacate the streets identified in the attached exhibit by subsequent ordinance, pending completion of the conditions as spelled out in the recommendations section of the staff report.
So moved.
Second.
A motion has been made and second. And we are going to waive second reading as well?
Yes, sir. Okay. I don't know why that's still there. Your criteria for decision or discussion is up in front of you. If you have any other questions, I'm certainly here to answer them.
So the staff recommends that the City Council declare that this vacation satisfies the BMC requirements and move that the Council intends to vacate the streets identified in the attached exhibit by subsequent ordinance pending completion of the conditions as spelled out in the recommendation section of the attached staff report. My understanding is we have a motion on the table, which has been seconded. And there are questions. Dennis.
Is the motion that you're talking about is with conditions, is that correct?
Completion of the conditions is spelled out in the recommendation section of the attached staff report.
That would be the second to last page of this item in your packet.
Yeah, that's the one I was looking
at. It goes over to the last page, is that correct?
Yeah. Would you like me to read them into the record, sir?
I don't think that's necessary, but how do the other council members feel about it? I think everybody's pretty happy with the fact that it's in the staff report or the report that's been given to us. Are there further questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Their motion is carried 6-1 with Dennis being the nay vote. Is that correct? Okay, so we're good on that one. Okay, next item on our agenda is setting a public hearing for the six-year transportation improvement program.
All right, this is our annual visit to the TIP, the Land of TIP Transportation Improvement Plan. Is due by June 30. What we have done is incorporated all of the projects that were part of the amended TIP that you passed in January, and that was for the to include all the TBD projects. So your project list is a little longer here, and that's why. Staff recommends we set this public hearing for June 26th as part of your regular council meeting. Just a reminder that all projects for which we wish to solicit grants must be on this list, and it is a requirement that we do this every year. As we did last year, we'll try on the 26th to, as a part of the public hearing, to really focus on the elements of the project as opposed to each individual project, just to give you a feel, so we don't have a two-hour public hearing. But we appreciate your consideration to set that forward.
Questions? Dennis?
Raven, can the public amend the list?
The public can certainly comment, and the council can amend the list.
Okay.
Further questions or comments?
Question. And we will automatically and for sure be included on the statewide TIP.
Well, we're working on that. If you're referring to the Exit 274 dilemma, we think there's more going on there than meets the eye.
Okay.
But we are showing in the TIP that it is partially funded. I don't know if we have enough skin in the game or not to make that happen. It is out of our control. But all we can do is request that it be added. And Bob Wilson with the Whatcom County COG's been very, very supportive of the 274 project. So I'm sure with his backing, we will have done the best that we can do. Mr. Wilbrecht will have a little bit more to report on that.
Were last year's projects on the statewide TIP, as far as we know? Except for the 274?
As far as we know, the projects that showed funding were in the statewide TIP.
And of course, it's on here once again.
Okay, the recommendation is to set a public hearing for June the 26th, 2017, to consider transportation projects for the 2018 to 2023 six-year transportation improvement program to then be adopted by council by resolution.
I'll so move.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Are there further questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Hearing none, the motion is carried 7-0. Now, we are going to break for a short executive session. We anticipate being out approximately 10 to 15 minutes. And we are anticipating action to be taken. We'll break at 7:17.